not a mom. And I said, I don't care. Because you care for somebody somewhere. We have a friend that we have taken in as part of our family. And we consider her family. She's like a sister to me in every way. Like, you know, we bicker like family. And Abigail sees her as family. And I would say that she deserves Mother's Day as much as I do because she helps me raise my daughter. And there's always someone that we care for and love. The community, we reach out to other people. So unless you're a person that just really dislikes children and you're like, those kids need to stay over there, you've got somebody that you've loved. And I know that it's painful for some because you want children and you haven't been able to have children, but I want you to realize that there's a place for you to love on children. And I had a friend at my last church that adopted because she couldn't have her own kids, and she used to spend every Sunday in the nursery in the baby room loving on babies. And she said, heaven for me is going to be me loving on everybody's babies. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to all, no matter what your life situation is. And I'm not asking anybody about your children, future, or anything. Now, my Mother's Day rant is over. I do want to promise to all of you dads that this is not going to be a mother's, mother, mother's, mother's only message. And all the dads go, So, as I shared last week with my story of the accident, I said that this week and moving on, I'm going to be sharing with you the stories that I learned, the lessons that I learned after the accident happened. If you didn't get to hear me last week share the story of what happened, I encourage you to go back and listen to it because I can't retell it again. It's a bit long. And so I encourage you to listen to it. It'll help frame what I'm talking about moving forward. But when I came home after my motorcycle accident, the doctors told me that I couldn't preach, I couldn't read, I couldn't watch a lot of TV, I couldn't have long conversations, I couldn't do a lot of physical activity. Basically, they told me everything that made me a pastor and everything that made me a mother, I couldn't do. For 4 to 6 weeks, everything about my identity was stripped away. I moved from one room to another. I would go to the bedroom for a day. I'd go to the couch in the living room. I'd go to my front room and look out the window from my chair. It was boring. But it was supposed to be. They told me I was supposed to do nothing, not use my brain. That was my instruction. And so I decided to color. And so I would just get out my coloring book and color. And one day, AJ and Abigail came home, and AJ said, I found this coloring book for you, honey. It's an adult color by number. And I go, I don't even have to think about what color to choose. It's going to tell me. This is amazing. And I got so excited. And every day, I would pick a picture and just start coloring away. And Abigail would come home, and she'd go, Mommy, Mommy, what did you color today? And we'd start going through the pictures. And that was about the most that Abigail and I would do in a day, because every morning, AJ would have to get her up and get her dress and her lunch packed and get her to the bus. And every day she would come home and she'd come see me and look at my coloring book, and then he would have to do homework with her because I couldn't even do reading with her. She's in kindergarten and I couldn't read with her. My brain couldn't even do kindergarten reading, and I couldn't help my child with her homework, and I couldn't help fix dinner, and I couldn't get her ready for bed, and I couldn't tuck her in. And I sat in my spot for the day, and I watched my family do all of their things without me. So as I colored, I prayed in my silence. And in my solitude, because everybody else was doing their things. My husband was at work and my child was at school. And the staff would stop by and check on me and make sure I had food and stop for about 20 minutes and say, hi, Faith, and that sort of thing. But for the most part of the day, I was alone. So God and I talked as I sat. We had some great conversations. And this verse, this passage that I read, it just stands out to me so much. Peter's words. Verse 3, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles and expensive jewelry or beautiful clothes. Do you know for weeks I didn't get out of my pajamas? Why would I? I never left the house. I just got up, I put on a clean pair of pajamas, and I went about my day. The next day I woke up, I put on another clean pair of pajamas, and I went about my day. I was very comfy. My husband will wash all my pajamas. It's a good thing I like pajamas. I have a lot. I don't know why. Why do you need so many pairs of pajamas? I don't know. But I have a lot of them, so I just put on a new pair and I'd lounge. And he'd do my laundry and I'd start all over again. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not doing anything. I'm not even getting dressed in the morning. And they go, but it's okay. You're supposed to sleep and you're supposed to rest. And I'm like, I feel so unproductive. I'm not put together. I don't look like myself. I got this big old scar and bandages on my face. And eventually they took the bandages off and took the stitches out. And I saw my scar. And I was like, I don't want anyone to look at that. People are going to stare at my forehead. They're not going to look at me. So then I kept trying to cover it up. And finally, God looked at me one day and through the voice of my husband, and he said, that scar is a sign of my grace in your life. He said, why are you trying to hide it? Because I was so focused on the outward of me. Ladies, if we think that media is convincing us that we have to look perfect, it's not true. Peter's writing about it 2,000 years ago. It's not media's fault. We've been dealing with this for a long time. And God said, Faith, why are you worried about your face? That scar is a sign of what I've done. So I decided I'm not worried about it. I wore my scar proudly. And people looked at me and they said, I didn't even see the scar. And then I got mad. I'm like, what? You don't see this big old thing on my face? Come on, ask me about it. But Peter's saying that we have to worry about what's within. Our beauty comes from within. It's our spiritual life with God that radiates who we are. And those weeks that I spent coloring and praying, me and God got connected. As a staff, a lot of us ministry persons, we take our Sabbath on Friday. If you ever hear one of us pastors argue that church doesn't have to happen on Sunday, it's because Sunday is not a Sabbath for me. I work more hours on Sunday than any other day of the week. Does that mean I don't love it? No, I love Sunday, but it is not a day of rest. Friday is my day of rest. And I love my work rhythm. And I still worship when I'm here, but it's not a day of rest. So we take Friday as a day of rest so that we're ready for Sunday. And what I realized during that time of me and God just hanging out talking is how I can't neglect my days of rest. And you know, ever since I got back, I've been behind for the past 5 months. It's like I can't catch up with work. I have been running full speed ever since I got back. And now I have to work really hard to get those days of solitude. Now, a lot of women, they don't really like this passage in 1 Peter. It's okay. You can admit it. Because we don't like this verse 5. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. I know that was Cody. And your wife is sitting next to you. Just saying. Okay, now I consider myself a modern woman, but I believe in all scripture. This scripture is true, but I want you to realize I am under the authority of a lot of things. I'm under God's authority in my life. I'm under the authority of the United Methodist Church. I'm under the authority of my bishop. I'm under the authority of Pastor Philip because he's my boss. But we don't think about things like that as being under people's authority. So being under my husband's authority means that I honor him in my life and my decisions, and I try my best. Am I perfect at it? No, I'm not. Do I apologize when I'm not? Yes. Because that's how we have a marriage, as a partnership. Ladies, I'm just going to be real with you because I can do this. See, this is one of the benefits of being a female pastor. Okay, God did not make men and women the same. This whole thing that all women can do everything men can do, we can't. And they can't do everything we can do. We are different, and God made us that way. It's scientifically proven that men and women were designed differently. Did you know that men need less hours of sleep? And that was designed because men would get up early to go get food for their families. Women sleep lighter because they were designed to hear the children at night. It's in our genetic makeup and how we care for others. God designed us to do certain things and to help each other. It's okay, women. We're more emotional. Husbands, don't you go home and use that against your wife. We are more emotional. But when you take an emotional person and a logical person and you make decisions together, you get both sides. You work together. Now, I'm just going to say it. I hate this about our society. Where do we get this phrase, happy wife, happy life? You've heard it, right? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That makes us look horrible. Like we're just these controlling people. A whole household has to bend to our will. Why? Why? Shouldn't it be that the whole family should be happy? I don't want to receive things from my spouse and my child because they have to keep me happy because we don't want mama to be mad. That's not how I want things. This is not what Peter was saying that God wants from us. He's saying that we, and I don't think this is a female-only thing, friends. I'm speaking to all of us. We need to be the person God wants us to be on the inside so we can be the person God wants us to be on the outside. And that doesn't mean the same thing for men and women, but it is the same principle. If I'm going to be the parent I need to be and the spouse I need to be, I have to start with the inside that I need to be. And society telling us stuff like this just needs to be thrown into the trash. Because I don't need my family trying to keep me happy so that I don't go on a tirade in my house. I'm a person who does. I serve and I'm always a doer. And it was hard to sit in a chair and watch my family do without me. But you know what God taught me? One, that my family can do it without me. Do they do it my way? No. Is it okay? Yes. And also that when I'm doing it my way and I get upset because I don't have any help, it's because I'm doing it my way and I shouldn't get upset about that. Because we're different personalities and we do life differently. That doesn't mean I don't have the support from my family. It just means that Faith is gone all type A on the house, is gone on cleaning frenzy, and I've just decided to devote an entire day and clean every corner. And I shouldn't get upset because nobody came to help me. Just because I woke up that morning deciding to do it. We serve each other. That's what we do. So this is what I learned, and my challenge to you is this. Think about your solitude. See, I figured I got all this out of solitude. And remember, I said last week, if you're with me, I'm not saying to go hurt yourself for solitude. Okay. I got a sabbatical because of being injured, but that's not how it happens. You can find solitude every day. You can find solitude every week. That's the lesson I want you to learn. I'm stubborn. And sometimes God has to use really big things to talk to me because sometimes I just don't listen. But the point of this is for us to learn through other people's struggles. And sometimes we don't share how we're struggling and we could learn from each other. So I want you to think about where your solitude is because it's hard. You know, it's hard in today's day and age with our technology. To get into solitude. With noise and busyness to get into solitude. And I encourage you to find 5 to 15 minutes a week to start off with, to be alone with God and set it apart and grow it, because you will be renewed by your solitude. And figure out what that means for you. The worship team is going to come back up. We're going to close out our service today. And as we close, I want you to think about that. Think about how you can carve out time for God so you can work on the internal self so that your external self is representing who God is in your life. So we can be the people God wants us to be. I believe that you're here this morning because there's something in this God wanted you to say. All the things that happened today, the storm, the power outage, everything. You had all sorts of reasons you could have stayed home, but you chose to be here. And I hope there's something in this that encourages you to go deeper into what God wants in your life. So as we close out this morning, would you join me with standing as we worship God?